It's time to take a journey, to find your courage, break through your limits, and master your destiny. It's time for Ken D. Foster's Voices of Courage. Ken brings you some of the most courageous people on the planet that will inspire greatness within you and change your life for the better. It's time to see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and do the impossible. It's time for Voices of Courage. And here's your host, Ken D. Foster.
Hi, and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. In this unprecedented and uncertain time, who better to look for for guidance and understanding how to navigate what's going on in these times than from doctors, business leaders, neuroscientists, spiritual psychologists, health professionals, and new thought leaders with extensive experience and also wisdom in their developed fields. This is who we bring you every week on Voices of Courage. So I want to encourage you to go to some of our replays. If you're having some challenges during this time, you can go to voicesofcourage.us. Again, voicesofcourage.us. Listen, today the world is on edge. We've all felt it. We've all seen the grocery stores. We've been in the Costco's and the some of the, you know, the theaters being shut down, the restaurants, the bars, people in quarantine, the markets crashing. You know, who isn't feeling that? If you're not, then you're not living on this planet. So today I hope to bring you some actual hope for this world that's on edge. You know, we all need to level up. We need to slow down. We need to connect with ourselves, with our families, in our world. Maybe this is just a wake-up call for some of us to do that. But I do know this, a lot of folks are feeling stress and anxiety. And I can tell you this, there's nothing that will kill you faster than stress and anxiety. You know, it's not gonna be the coronavirus is gonna get you, it's gonna be that, right? So, you know, we're not victims here, and we can be victors over the challenges that we are facing if we all come together. So I'm going to give you a few tips today on how to maybe do that. First of all, I think optimizing our mind to fight the coronavirus is really important. So again, the biggest fears that we're facing is not necessarily the coronavirus, although some of us, of course, are suffering. And, you know, my heart goes out to those folks that have this disease and their loved ones are passing. It's terrible. But for those of you that want to take it your life back into your own hands, we need to let go of our fears, because fear is a virus. It is contagious, maybe even more contagious than the coronavirus, and it creates static in our mind. And what I mean by that is, when you have fear in your heart, you can't think straight. You're not thinking the right thing, and you're making poor decisions. You know, desperate people make desperate decisions, which lead to poor choices, which lead to, of course, devastation sometimes in their lives. So I want to bring you a little spiritual first aid today. And what is that? Well, we all can do this in our lives. We have the ability to really take some time for ourselves, slow down, connect with our soul, our spirit. And I'll tell you, the way I do it is, you know, I do it through prayer. I do it through meditation. And I also do it through statements of truth. I like to tell myself the truth about things when things are going a little haywire in my life. I can see people are running around, maybe trying to grab water bottles or toilet paper from the stores. And, you know, when I'm in that place, I'm just like, I'm in a calm place. I'm just noticing, you know, what I have control of. I don't have control of how many people grab toilet paper rolls. I do have control of how I react to that, though. So, you know, some little soul wisdom here is, I think, what we need to start to really transform and change our thinking, change our world. I hope this is resonating with you, because, you know, I have to tell you what triggered this for me is, I went to Costco yesterday and I had meditated. I had prayed. I felt really good when I got there. And it was early morning. My sister-in-law had stood in line to go get some toilet paper. I said, okay, I'll join you. So I went there, and I got there. I was in this good mood, in a great mindset. And I passed maybe 100 people in line, and I thought to myself, I'm going to see if I can connect with any of them and just put a smile on their face just by resonating who I am. And as I went through that line at Costco, there was not one person looked up and smiled back. It was like everybody was so in their own thoughts, in their own head, that, you know, it just felt really interesting to me. It felt like I was walking into a bunch of folks that seemed fearful, very fearful, actually. You know, were they going to get the toilet paper? If not, you know, what are they going to do? They were really, you know, they were in that place. So, you know, during this time, my whole point of this, during this time, it's time to substitute faith for fear, affirm truth within our own hearts, such as I'm cool, I'm calm. You know, I'm an infinite being of love and light, or I have more power in me to overcome any obstacle. In fact, danger and I were born together, and I'm more dangerous than danger. Say that a few times. You know, and if you do, what's going to happen is you're going to start to feel it. You know, courage is the bridge for this. Courage is the bridge from worry to calmness, from fear to faith, from unhappiness to happiness. It really just takes courage. And we need to not shrink back from what's happening with us in our lives. So if this resonates with you, I encourage you to, again, you know, as I started the show, go and listen to some of the other shows that we've done. We've done some amazing shows. Now, I'm not telling you to turn off this show because I have two amazing guests that are coming up here in just a moment. In fact, I'd like to introduce my first guest. His name is Dr. Herman Williams. He's an executive vice president and chief clinical officer at RCCH Health Care Partner with extensive healthcare expertise that includes the management operations of large-scale national chains and hospitals. His successful leadership has resulted in achieving the highest and safest levels of quality inpatient and outpatient care. And he's got a new book out. It's called Clear. And we're going to be talking about that. So, Dr. Williams, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Thank you, Ken. Please call me Herman.
Okay, great. Hi, Herman. Hey, Herman. So listen, you know, it's on everybody's mind. You know, this virus, the coronavirus thing that's going on. How are you managing it in your life right now?
Well, I agree with the statements that you made prior to introducing me. I'm trying to stay calm. I'm trying to stay realistic. I have some personal risk factors myself. So I'm at risk because of a cardiac disease that I've had for over 20 years. And so I'm taking the advice very seriously, going out only when I absolutely have to. I had to get my blood drawn yesterday. Other than that, I haven't been outside in 5 days. I think that, you know, we have to give up some of our freedoms, if you will, to try and isolate this virus and allow it to essentially snuff itself out. If we just ignore it, then we could be in a situation similar. Other people are holding us analogous to Italy, where in a couple of weeks, this thing could just be out of control. We've seen that happen in New York, Boston, and Washington State. And so it's possible.
It is possible. What else is possible is that the curve is flattened because of the extreme caution that so many of us are taking and encouraging others to do. The biggest challenge for me is the teenagers. And, you know, I live with a couple of them. So to be able to flatten the narcissistic curve there is a little challenge, but we're making it, we're all making it through. Well, listen, I've got to take a break. When I come back though, I do want to take a little deep dive into the book entitled Living the Life You Didn't Dream Of. And we'll do that. We'll take a dive. Okay. We'll be right back.
Wonderful.
All right.
We'll be back with more Voices of Courage with Ken D. Foster. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us.
Are you feeling stuck or in a holding pattern with your business or life, and you're not doing the things you want or love? Then at some point, you're going to be faced with a decision. You'll either choose to keep living in your comfort zone and risk a life of mediocrity, or increase your courage, step into your power, and forge into the unknown, where everything new becomes possible. If you're truly ready to live masterfully, then you need Ken D. Foster's newest book, The Courage to Change Everything, Strategies and Wisdom to Transform Your Life One Day at a Time. This powerful but simple guide provides you with 365 days of life-transforming wisdom, profound questions, and action steps that will increase your strength and open the doors to success. Stop wondering why your business or life isn't working. The answers are available now. Imagine if you had more courage or another chance to start following your dreams. To pick up your copy of The Courage to Change Everything, visit thecouragetochangeeverything.com. That's thecouragetochangeeverything.com.
There comes a time when you know you need to restart and regain control of your life. A time to seek freedom from the anxiety, addiction, and other issues that may be bringing you down. A time to heal and reemerge as the real you. Villa Kalima is a holistic residential recovery program exclusively for women for individualized treatment. Villa Kalima offers proven clinical and holistic therapies for the mind, body, and spirit to assure sustainable recovery. Villa Kalima focuses on healing the cause, not temporarily masking symptoms. It's the only way to truly recover and find yourself again. Villa Kalima is located in a beautiful, peaceful, resort-like setting and is a licensed and accredited residential treatment center accepting a variety of health insurances. Start your healing and renewal today by calling Villa Kalima in La Costa, California at 760-814-8214. 760-814-8214. Villa Kalima, a place for transformation.
We're back with Voices of Courage. And now your host, Ken D. Foster.
Well, I'd like to welcome everybody back. Today, our show is called Finding Courage in the Face of Adversity. I've got two doctors on the show today. We're going to be talking a little bit about what's on your mind with the coronavirus, but we're also going to take a deep dive into how to manage the mind, how to look at some of the areas of that might be stopping you or challenging you from really getting through to the next level. And but before I get to that, I'd like to invite some authors. If you're an author or you're a would-be author, myself and some of my best-selling New York Times authors, some of my book marketing strategist friends and I are teaching you how to write, market, and launch your book to a bestseller status. And the good news is no cost to you. This you're going to learn from the experts that I use, their formulas and simple steps to make your book a bestseller. If you'd like to find out about that, you can go to courage2change.us/invite, courage2change.us/invite. Also, if you're enjoying the great content and insights on Voices of Courage, then I encourage you to check out a few of our affiliates. We have UK Health Radio, E360 TV, and Talk Radio New York City. All three networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and become the best version of yourself. And you can find them at ukhealthradio.com, talkradio.nyc, and e360.tv. All righty. Well, back to my guest. Listen, Herman Williams' story is a story of survival and triumph in the face of repeated medical crisis, which will leave the reader inspired to tackle his or her life challenges. We're talking about his new book. And Dr. Herman, let's talk about it. Let's take a little dive. Why is the book titled Living the Life You Didn't Dream Of?
So the book is entitled Clear. And it's sort of a play on words because that is, of course, what you say before you shock someone with defibrillator paddles. And I have been resuscitated by bystanders actually twice, amazingly enough, successfully. So that's why it's called Clear. And Living a Life You Didn't Dream Of is because I never dreamed of the miraculous blessings that I have been the benefit of. And living this life, I had grown up with this crazy dream to be an orthopedic surgeon and be the team doctor for the LA Lakers. And that dream came to a crashing halt. But it was replaced by this actual beautiful existence. And really, in a nutshell, the book talks about how to appreciate the blessings that we've been given and to look to not necessarily what you want to do, but what you were meant to do, what you were placed here to do.
Nice. And as a reader of the book Clear, what do you think I'm going to learn as I read that book?
So I think one is the first part of the book is the reader will learn how to really discover how you might be the reason why you haven't achieved certain goals in life. And so I did realize that I was responsible. I had this chip on my shoulder about race and racism. I'm an African-American male, and I discovered that it was me that was in the way of putting this chip on my shoulder. And I finally got rid of that chip and put myself to work and did everything I needed to do to realize my dream to become a physician. I finally got into medical school, and then I set this impossible dream to become an orthopedic surgeon back in the 90s. That was one of the more difficult specialties to get in. I finally achieved that goal. And Ken, I had one last block to put in my building block of things I needed to do to make my dream of being the doctor for the Lakers really within reach. The last block was to apply for a fellowship in sports medicine at the Curlin Job Clinic in Los Angeles, California, which you might be familiar with because I know you're from Southern California, but literally they took care of the Angels, the Kings, the Lakers, every sports team, and that was that last block. And then what happened is 30 days after I had submitted my application, I actually dropped dead on the basketball court. And all of those dreams, all of that preparation, all of that hard work went up in smoke. And the book takes the reader on this journey of how I discovered to put myself back on the path of setting a new dream and begin living a life that I had never dreamed of. Because we all have these magnificent dreams that we strive to, and I encourage people to continue to do that. But we have to understand that when a crisis attacks that dream and sort of brings it to a screeching halt, that we just have to work twice as hard to put in a new dream to be successful.
Well, I love that because I think right now in the world, there's a lot of dreams that are put on hold, and a lot of some of those dreams are going to go away. They're not going to be there when you go back. You know, in spite of some people being over optimistic. So, what is that inside of you that helped you to overcome? When you put all this time, all this effort, your whole life into becoming the doctor for the Lakers, and all of a sudden you pass, you're dead on the court. Now you're waking up. Now what happens? Where do you find the strength to move on?
Well, I think it's very important, and I say this as a patient and as a physician, it's very important to allow yourself time first to assess what has happened and to mourn. It's very important to allow yourself time to mourn. I mean, I was devastated. What I tell the listeners, though, on your show is to not stay trapped in that situation. Many of us, we mourn and we just stay there. We're like, well, my life is over. And, you know, this whole coronavirus is a classic example because there are many people whose lives are literally going to be devastated by the precautions that are put in place. I read an article about MGM hotels and how they're saying they are closing all of their casinos. They're, you know, literally people who are just going to be, what in the world am I going to do? And so allow yourself time to mourn that, but you've got to immediately be proactive about, okay, what skills do I have and what can I immediately put in place to be able to predict what's going to happen 3, 4, 5, 6 months from now?
I couldn't agree. Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think, you know, one of the ways our organization, as I mentioned earlier when you came on, you know, my wife is an event planner. She puts on events. And so immediately we sat down, and I want to say this. I sat down in meditation. I stilled my mind. I calmed the craziness. And I just sat there and with the intention of what's next. That was my only question, what's next? And almost immediately it just came right in. Oh, go online, create what you've been wanting to create, an online event. So we're now following that. We're right in the process of working out everything we need to work out so that her next event is an online event, right? So a pivoting in this time is so important. I love what you just said. It's so important for people to go, not to just go into the victim. Oh, I'm a victim. Oh, what am I going to do? Worry and fear and stress them out, but be proactive now. The mind is so creative. What are three things I've always wanted to do that I've never done, right? Now's the time to start thinking in that way. Yeah,
exactly. And, you know, I love the way you say, I meditate also, but sometimes it's just about listening to your mind. There may be people who wanted to do things always, but they just, I never could do it because I was always occupied with this. Now is the time to listen to your thoughts and say, is this the time to do that new thing I wanted to do that now is possible because now I'm laid off, or possible because I have to be at home and I can now spend this time to focus on planning a new strategy.
Absolutely.
But you just,
and,
you know, life.
I love what you're saying. I wanted to plus what you just said too, because I think there's another piece here. And I think that I think we also need to get our information from the right sources. So if you're listening to this program, you're getting good information, but you know, it's like last night I asked a couple of my friends about some of the numbers that were coming in around the coronavirus, right? And I knew the numbers. I've been studying the numbers, right? And one of them came back and said, oh, this is the worst thing that's ever hit. It's 10 times more lethal than the flu. And I said, well, wait a second. We don't know where those numbers are coming from in Europe because we're not there. Well, you know, all viruses are coronaviruses. So are they studying, you know, this particular type of corona? And that's where they're getting their stats? Because in the United States, if you go to the CDC, you can look on their website and you can get the accurate stats, right? And right. It calms us down when we get the right source. I did that with two of my friends who I thought were very enlightened people. I went, wow, this is amazing. It's just in society. We're running on that fear. Listen, I've got to take a break. Before I do, tell people where they can get the book, though, and then we'll come back and I'm going to do another segment with you.
Wonderful. You can get the book on my website at clearlivingthelife.com if you want an autographed copy. It's also available in Barnes & Noble, and it's also available on Amazon.com.
Awesome. Okay, we'll be right back.
We'll be back with more Voices of Courage with Ken D. Foster. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us.
If you're an author, speaker, or organization committed to changing the world, and you need a partner to support you with PR, your website, or social media, Wasabi Publicity is the perfect fit. Wasabi Publicity works with companies and individuals committed to doing good in the world. Everything they do is instilled with passion, impact, and brilliance. Go to wasabipublicity.com. That's wasabipublicity.com to schedule a call with Wasabi CEO, Drew Gerber.
The most talented athletes in the world rely on a coach to get better. And the most successful business people do the same.
I have found working with Ken D. Foster to be an extraordinary experience. He helped me to expand my vision, increase profits, and showed me the way to have more fulfillment and success in my life.
Ken D. Foster is the coach's coach for business and life. He has been nicknamed the coach of the successful and wealthy.
Ken is an instrumental part of my team and the success I have generated over the past 12 months. Ken gave me the strategies to increase productivity, reduce turnover, and take my business to the next level.
So what's holding you back? Ken D. Foster is a master business coach with proven strategies to dramatically increase efficiency and productivity while maximizing individual development and fulfillment. Explore your possibilities. For a free consultation, log on to kendfoster.com. That's kendfoster.com. kendfoster.com.
We're back with Voices of Courage. And now your host, Ken D. Foster.
Well, I'd like to welcome everybody back. Today, our show is called Finding the Courage in the Face of Adversity. And we're all going through a little adversity right now, right? So I've got Dr. Herman Williams on the line right now, and we're talking about some solutions to be able to overcome some of the challenges that you may be facing right now. He's been through great challenges in his life, and he's talking about some of the strategies that he will help you implement. Before I get to our guest, though, I want to ask the women out there. So if you're a woman entrepreneur, I want you to pay attention for just a second. There's an event coming up on March 9th. That you don't want to miss. It's called Brand Brilliantly, Market Like Madonna, and Profit Like a Rockstar. This is an online event, so everybody can attend, and you're about to discover how to capture your market with your own unique message, how to be unique and stand out in a crowded marketplace, and how to turn yourself and your company into a powerful brand and cash in on your expertise. The organization that's putting this on is my wife's organization. It's called Women's Wisdom. They've been assisting women business owners to not only grow their businesses, but grow their lives since 1991. Women's Wisdom is the premier networking group for purpose-driven women. And the event, again, is Thursday, October 9th at 11 a.m. It's on Zoom. You can register for that event at womenswisdom.net. Again, womenswisdom.net. I hope you will join us there. All right, back to my guest, Dr. Herman Williams. He's got a story of survival and triumph, and I think a lot of people are in the survival mode right now, Herman. So what do you let's take a little deeper dive into that that piece of what you did to overcome so much adversity. What is that? What is that for you?
So for me, a lot of it was faith. I believed that I was not put on this earth to spend 13 years of my life training to be an orthopedic surgeon, and all of that was just going to go up in smoke. And it's important to note that a lot of the systems around us, like the support that you get when you're completely disabled, in some ways is designed to keep you there. You know, I had a grant while I was disabled, and I applied for it, and I said, look, I want to go back to school I wonder if I could use those funds for that. And they said, no, as long as you're disabled, you can use it. But if you get back on your feet, no. So you got to understand that some of the systems are designed to keep you in a state of helplessness. I refused to believe that I was put on this earth for that reason. And I just prayed and prayed. And I also took inventory of what I could do. I said, look, I've got a college degree. I've got an MD. I've got medical knowledge. What could I do? And for me, Ken, the next logical step was to go back to business school, even though it involved another 2 years of training. That was the thing that got me back on track. And then I used my medical knowledge as an advisor, and I became a clinical business consultant to healthcare consulting. And that's how I got myself back on my feet. And so I say,
I really admire that. And I think there are a lot of listeners that, that right now are, you know, again, I think I want to reassociate you. If you have a dream, if you have something that you haven't done before, this is a great time to map it out, right? So you went back to school. I love that part about you. You went back, you said, you know what, here's what I need to do. I think there's a lot of folks out there that, you know, could go back to school, and there's online classes all over right now, you know, so that's interesting. Let me ask you another thing. In the book, you talk about the kindness scale. I really wanted to tap into that because I think this is a time we really need to be, we're with our families, you know, we're isolated, a lot of us, a lot of people are living with extended families these days. How do we stay kind in the face of adversity, which might be coming from our families, right? They're frustrated, they're upset, they're fearful, right? How do we stay kind? Let's talk about that.
Right. So the kindness scale was, it was born out of a fact that I came up with the ABCs of life. I'll just quickly whip through those. A is for acknowledge what is your disability, what's your ailment, but don't let it define you. B is breathe, and it gets back to you and I, meditation. The first step in meditation is breathing. And then C is live a life of compassion. And I had people say to me, I get the whole compassion thing, but how do I do that? How do I operationalize it? And I said, let me come up with a kindness scale, which to me is the essence of compassion. And it's just a graduated scale of increasing levels of kindness. Level one is the most basic gesture of kindness. That's a smile. And you already talked about that in line at Costco. The most basic level is smile. Guys, we're all here together. Let's just smile. The next level is helping someone, helping them with a bag, helping them opening a door. The next level is actually using my expertise to help someone else. I tell anybody, any friends of mine who are in the hospital, let me call the hospital. I'll make things happen. When a doctor calls, all of a sudden things, you know, things start moving. And then the fourth one is the highest level of kindness. For me, it was CPR. And so those are just four examples of how you can implement kindness in your life every day.
I love that.
And I'll just say lastly, Ken, now we're seeing these levels of kindness. I notice people, as an example, and I'm not trying to endorse any one person, but I noticed the team owner for the Dallas Mavericks decided to pay for the salaries of the people who work in the stadium because, you know, the NBA season is over. That's just one example of how you can figure out how can I improve someone else's life.
Well, I really like that. And I know one of the things that I wake up every morning and ask myself, well, how can I make my wife's life better or my family's life better? That's just how I default, right? But, you know, I had to learn that. That wasn't something that I did naturally. I had to learn that. When I heard somebody said that to me, why don't you ask a question like that? And I said, you know what? That's a really good idea. I'm going to incorporate that. And so I do, or when I go to the grocery store, a lot of grocers, the cashiers are stressed out right now. It's like, how do we put up a smile on their face? They're usually trying to put a smile on our face, but how do we put a smile on their face, right? when they're going through these times. So kindness is the key. Let's tell them where to get the book one more time, please.
Sure. You can get the book on my website.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. clearlivingthelife.com. Or you can get it on the Barnes & Noble online website, or you can get it on Amazon.com.
Oh, I love that. And the subtitle is Living the Life You Didn't Dream Of.
Correct.
You didn't dream of your life. This was going to be different, wasn't it?
I never knew I would be honored with being on your podcast and being able to tell my story. So absolutely, what a blessing it is.
That's interesting. I didn't know I'd be doing podcasts. We started this 3 years ago, and now we're in 160 countries.
There you go.
But I had no idea. Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right. Final thoughts, though. You know, you got the microphone, you got the megaphone for the world right now. What's your message to the world right now?
You know, my message to the world is that we are, you know, the leadership around the globe is preaching divisiveness, and it's preaching blame others for your plight in life. I say live a life of kindness. It comes back in triplicate. Just give to other people. Be kind to those around you. This world is made of human beings that were identified and designed to love each other and help each other. And I think if you live on those basic premises, nothing but good will come to you. And that's my reality. And so I've been blessed enough to be resuscitated twice, 20 years apart, by two sets of different people, one man I didn't even know. And I believe that random act of kindness is the reason why I'm here today on your show. And that's just one example of how much more beautiful the society could be. And that's my mission in life.
Herman, thank you so much for your contribution today. I'm sure a lot of people will be taking this to heart and passing it on to those that they love. So I really appreciate it. Again, the book is Clear. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it all over the place. So by the way, Herman, I hope you come back and visit me again. I really enjoyed that interview.
So. I'm here for you. Thank you so much. It's a blessing for you to invite me on your show.
Thank you so much. Okay, coming up in the next segment, I've got Dr. John Cruz, and he's a neuroscientist, a psychiatrist, and the author of the book, Recognizing Adult ADHD, What Donald Trump Can Teach Us About Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder.
We'll be back with more Voices of Courage with Ken D. Foster. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us.
There comes a time when you know you need to restart and regain control of your life. A time to seek freedom from the anxiety, addiction, and other issues that may be bringing you down. A time to heal and reemerge as the real you. Villa Kalima is a holistic residential recovery program exclusively for women for individualized treatment. Villa Kalima offers proven clinical and holistic therapies for the mind, body, and spirit to assure sustainable recovery. Villa Kalima focuses on healing the cause, not temporarily masking symptoms. It's the only way to truly recover and find yourself again. Villa Kalima is located in a beautiful, peaceful, resort-like setting and is a licensed and accredited residential treatment center accepting a variety of health insurances. Start your healing and renewal today by calling Villa Kalima in La Costa, California at 760-814-8214. 760-814-8214. Villa Kalima, a place for transformation.
Hi, this is Ken D. Foster. Are you an author or would-be author? If so, a few of my New York Times best-selling author friends, some of my book marketing strategist friends, and I are going to be teaching you how to write, market, and launch your book to bestseller status. And get this, no cost to you. You're going to learn from the experts that I use, their formulas, and their simple steps to make your book a bestseller. So find out how to do this at courage2change.us/invite, courage2change.us/invite. There are, I think we have 12 master teachers in the class right now. You're going to learn things you never knew about book marketing. I can tell you that because I've been marketing books for the last 15 years, and I've learned a whole bunch from the experts that I brought on. Hope you'll join us at courage2change.us.
We're back with Voices of Courage. And now your host, Ken D. Foster.
Well, I'd like to welcome everybody back to the show. Today, our show is called Finding Courage in the Face of Adversity. And just wanted to give you a quick shout out to our affiliate network, UK Health Radio. They now have coronavirus information page. It contains daily updates with information from health professionals, the public, and even the latest travel information. The page can be accessed simply by clicking on coronavirus on the coronavirus floating banner on the homepage. And that's at ukhealthradio.com, ukhealthradio.com. They're one of our affiliates, and the owner is he's an amazing man who also through adversity overcame it. One of the ways he overcame it was creating UK Health Radio as a public service for those that when we go through crises like that. So I hope you'll check it out, ukhealthradio.com. All righty. Wow. Oh, what a great show we're having. Okay. John Cruz is an MD, a PhD. He's a neuroscientist, a psychiatrist, and the author of the book, Recognizing Adult ADHD, What Donald Trump Can Teach Us About Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. With 25 years of psychiatric experience, Dr. Cruz specializes in treating adults with ADHD and so much more. John Cruz, welcome to the show. I appreciate you being here. And by the way, you're muted right there, so we're going to have to unmute you. Okay, I got you. Go.
I'm delighted to be here today.
God, you sound great. Your microphone sounds deep today. You got a deep voice here. Well, listen, I'm going to ask you the same question I started out asking my last guest. And, this coronavirus thing, since it's all over the news, is impacting everybody. How are you handling it? How are you going through this?
I mean, as you mentioned, I have teenage daughters, two at home. So that's, and schools are closed. They're not knowing whether they're going to get back to school at all. So we're trying to take precautions to keep ourselves safe, to make sure we're not contaminating others. I'm actually one of the exceptions for the shelter-in-place orders in San Francisco is people can come to doctors. So I've had some patients where I'm one of the more important people in their lives. So for them, it's important to come in here. We have to maintain social distancing and cleanliness. Other patients, I'm accessible by Zoom or other audio, or some who don't even have that capability, I'm staying in contact with by phone. So it's maintaining our social networks to the extent we can with the new precautions in place.
Absolutely. And I because of the work you do, I'm sure there are a lot of people that rely on you so that they can they can stay healthy and work on their minds and their relationships and what you do. Let's talk about ADHD here, because you're specializing in it, and I think this is a critical time for those that have this disorder. First of all, how'd you get in the field? Let's talk about that a little bit.
I got into the field 25 years ago because one of the first patients that was referred to me, if he had been a 7-year-old boy, there had been no question that he had ADHD. He'd be talking to himself, he'd be late for sessions, he'd be interrupting himself. And he had been with a respected psychiatrist for 7 years, made absolutely no progress. Then the psychiatrist referred him to the university center saying, maybe this guy has ADHD. And they did their 3 days of neuropsychological testing. And they said, this looks just like ADHD, but that doesn't exist in adults. This was 25 years ago. So the previous psychiatrist passed him on to me. And the more I started working with him, I ran through all the other possibilities. He didn't fit any of those. He clearly had ADHD symptoms. So I started educating myself more about adult ADHD. And the more I did so, the more I saw other people who were being misdiagnosed or it was being missed or not treated adequately. So I started specializing in that.
So what are some of the symptoms of adult ADHD?
So some of the symptoms are distractibility, are being inconsistent. So you might make careless mistakes. So you could contradict yourself. You can be Some adults still retain some amount of hyperactivity. So I'll pick on Mr. Trump since he's the topic of my book. He's always pacing around. He's nodding his head. He's shaking even when other people are sitting down.
Right.
And one sort of global overreaching thing, this is not on the list of symptoms, but people with ADHD tend to be what's called interest-driven rather than importance-driven. And my example with Mr. Trump is, what's important in this crisis is the lives of people and the livelihoods. And yet he was focused on, what are the numbers? How are those going to hurt my reputation? Is this a hoax by Democrats? Is this going to blow up the stock market, which he cares about because that's how he measures his self-worth? So he went with what was interesting to him rather than what was important to the country as a whole.
A lot of folks call that behavior narcissist. They're narcissistic behaviors. Is that a quality of ADHD?
So one thing that's been studied in kids with ADHD is something called positive illusory bias. So all kids over-exaggerate their own strengths and abilities, but kids with ADHD do this to a greater extent. But even more interesting, normal kids, sorry to use that term, but kids without ADHD, when you present them with the evidence of how well they're performing, they revise their performance. With positive illusory bias, they still retain this inflated sense of themselves. And furthermore, with normal healthy kids, having an over-optimistic sense of themselves gives some motivation to try harder in difficult situations. But measurably, kids with ADHD, even though they have a more impressive view of their own capabilities, don't try harder, don't persevere. So it's interesting that a lot of these, what look like and may well be narcissistic traits in Donald Trump, have a big overlap with positive illusory bias. And one of the arguments I make is that ADHD pervasively affects everything coming into your brain, everything coming out of your brain. So it's persistent, it's affecting everything about how you process the world. Narcissism, part of the content.
Go ahead, make that point. Yeah, go ahead.
So narcissism may be part of the content, and why I think it's overused as a description for Donald Trump is people who are narcissistic do things to make themselves look in charge and competent and strong and powerful. He clearly values all those things, and yet he says things every single day that undermine that he has any clue of what's going on, that he knows that has a plan for getting making things better, that he's done his homework, so he's educated about this. So someone with pure narcissism doesn't keep shooting themselves in their foot so much. And this guy, even if you like his policies, shoots himself in the foot.
Interesting. Well, what has science been able to determine some of the causes of ADHD?
We know that ADHD has a strong genetic component. So it's at least as strong as it is for schizophrenia or, you know, the genetic contributions to height. So this is something that very strongly runs in families. But clearly, even identical twins aren't always identical for this feature. So it's not only genetics, but we don't know what other factors. I mean, there can be pesticide exposure, actually exposure to cigarette smoke during pregnancy, trauma during birth are all in, or premature delivery, all increase the risk of ADHD. And we can find some disruptions of dopamine systems in the brain. We can find patterns of maturation in the brain where the cortex thins out or thickens it in ways that are delayed relative to kids without ADHD. So we have some biological features of it, but none of them are strong enough to say, if you just look at a brain scan or blood level, that this kid definitively has ADHD.
Wow. Okay. Well, listen, I'm going to have to take a break here. But when we come back, I want to dive into how to live with someone that has ADHD. And also, I want to take a deeper dive in the book, because I think there's a lot here. And I think my audience will benefit from this. So we'll be right back. And thank you for listening. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
We'll be back with more Voices of Courage with Ken D. Foster. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us.
Are you feeling stuck or in a holding pattern with your business or life, and you're not doing the things you want or love? Then at some point, you're going to be faced with a decision. You'll either choose to keep living in your comfort zone and risk a life of mediocrity, or increase your courage, step into your power, and forge into the unknown, where everything new becomes possible. If you're truly ready to live masterfully, then you need Ken D. Foster's newest book, The Courage to Change Everything, Strategies and Wisdom to Transform Your Life One Day at a Time. This powerful but simple guide provides you with 365 days of life transforming wisdom, profound questions, and action steps that will increase your strength and open the doors to success. Stop wondering why your business or life isn't working. The answers are available now. Imagine if you had more courage or another chance to start following your dreams. To pick up your copy of The Courage to Change Everything, visit thecouragetochangeeverything.com. That's thecouragetochangeeverything.com.
If you, your company, or organization is out to change the world, and you need a team that produces results to take your message to the next level, Sabi Publicity is the perfect fit. Recognized by PR Week and Good Morning America for its innovative business practices, Sabi Publicity works with companies and individuals committed to doing good in the world. Whether it's creating an engaging website, building a passionate social media tribe, or connecting their clients with top media influencers like Good Morning America, The New York Times, and Oprah, everything they do is instilled with passion, impact, and brilliance. If you're an author, speaker, or organization committed to changing the world, and you need a partner to support you with PR, your website, or social media, go to WasabiPublicity.com. That's WasabiPublicity.com. To schedule a call with Wasabi CEO, Drew Gerber.
We're back with Voices of Courage. And now your host, Ken D. Foster.
Well, I'd like to welcome everybody back. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. Today, our show is called Finding the Courage in the Face of Adversity. And I have my guest, Dr. Cruz, and we're talking, he's a neuroscientist and psychiatrist. He's the author of the book, Recognizing Adult ADHD, What Donald Trump Can Teach Us About Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. I'm going to get right to him, but I did want to mention one more time about the upcoming, networking event online. And it's coming up on Thursday, March 9th from 11 to 1 on Zoom. And it's put on by an organization called Women's Wisdom. So if you're a woman entrepreneur, pay attention here. The event is featuring a speaker who is going to be talking about how to brand brilliantly, market like Madonna, and profit like a rock star. Her name is Ann Bennett, and she's going to teach you how to discover how to capture your market with your own unique message, how to be unique and stand out in the crowded marketplace, and how to turn yourself and your company into a powerful brand and cash in on your expertise. So if you'd like to find out about that, just go to womenswisdom.net. Again, womenswisdom.net. Coming up on Thursday, March 9th, you'll want to pre-register for that, womenswisdom.net. All righty. Okay, I'm interviewing Dr. Cruz. He's an MD, PhD, and neuroscientist. He's got a new book out. Dr. Cruz, let's talk about living with ADHD. How do you live with somebody that's got this disorder going, and what can we do to support them, those of us that don't have it?
Yeah, it certainly can be a challenge. And the good thing you're pointing out is that ADHD is not just a simple issue of distractibility, and it's not just an academic, someone doing well in the classroom or not, but this is something that pervasively affects social interactions as well. So separate from treating people with medications, which we know can be powerfully helpful, the amount of social support and structures is crucial. And the people with ADHD, if it's too tightly constricted, tend to rebel against that and not do well. And if there's no structure or no limits on it, then, as I say, free time is the enemy if you have ADHD. Often the weekends are harder for people with ADHD than the workplace, because in the workplace, things, you have obligations, you have reports, you have expectations every hour or a few hours. And on the weekend, it's, I could do this, I could go to the park, I could fix my bicycle, I could read a book, and nobody. So providing the right amount of structure, and some of that's always an interaction or a checking back and forth as to what's being helpful to keep someone on track with projects and with interaction.
That's good. Well, it's interesting because I think a lot of the symptoms of ADHD, especially in the milder cases, people can just kind of discount. I know in the book you talk about the seriousness about this disease and where it can lead. Can we just take a little dive into that so people kind of get the understanding of that?
Yeah, so in the book I say that ADHD can destroy relationships, can derail careers, and it can even kill people. So there was a recently released study, I think it was done in Taiwan, showing your likelihood of dying from murder is twice as high if you have ADHD. Suicide is twice as high as ADHD. Accidents are about 50% higher than regular people. So there's a pervasive, we know the likelihood of not finishing college, of likelihood of winding up in jail. All of these are substantially heightened by having ADHD.
That's really good. Just a question for you. Why did you pick President Donald Trump as an example of ADHD?
So a couple of facts. One is during the 2016 election, I had so many patients, and again, lots of them with ADHD themselves, who saw Donald Trump's behavior splashed across the screen where he's gesturing, where he's getting off track, where he's interrupting others. And they said, oh my God, that's what I look like to other people. He has ADHD, doesn't he? So part of me that sort of went into it and reviewed the criteria for diagnosis, but realized this is a teaching opportunity. Not only is Donald Trump the poster boy for adult ADHD because he has so many of the symptoms to such a severe effect, but he has ADHD that's right in front of our faces and nobody is talking about it. Or I'll say people talk about the symptoms. They're saying, this guy's disruptive. He breaks conventions. He's not paying attention. He doesn't do his homework. He doesn't plan ahead. And yet he's a narcissistic or a sociopath. No one's putting the label on it. And what we know is one of the ways we reduce stigma is actually talking openly, non-judgmentally, and factually about conditions public figures have. So although lots of people in the ADHD community cringe at having Trump connected with their condition, I think in the long run, this helps more people become aware of what this is and that this is a pervasive, powerful condition and can lead us in the long run to less stigma about it.
Well, what I like about what we're talking about here is that it comes from a place of really non-judgment. You're just you're looking at the facts based on what the disease symptoms are and saying, hey, listen, Donald Trump, and I'm sure several other people in Congress or leaders in the world and business and whatever have the disease. It's just not being talked about. And for me, were you talking about Trump? For me, it helps explain things. It also brings more compassion to me. I understand it's like, oh, you're suffering from a disease. This isn't something that we have to label as, like you said, a sociopath or narcissistic or this or that. We can actually understand it as a disease. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yes. So I highlight in the book that we make diagnoses in all of medicine, not just psychiatry, for three reasons. One is to understand what's going on, and knowing he has ADHD, not these 17 different weird traits or characteristics, is powerfully helpful. Two, we make diagnoses to predict what's going to happen if you don't treat it. So, you know, how the coronavirus is unfolding, crisis is unfolding, was perfectly predictable knowing who he is. And then three, we come up with diagnoses to suggest treatments that are targeted specifically at what's going on. Because if you don't diagnose correctly, you're going to apply the wrong solution to that problem.
That's great. What is the Goldwater rule, and why did you decide to break from it in discussing President Trump as an example of ADHD?
So the Goldwater rule, there's a long history, but essentially it's a psychiatric ethical rule. It's not a law. That says psychiatrists should not talk in public about psychiatric evaluations or treatments of an individual without that person's consent. So I say Donald Trump's ADHD actually throws cold water on the Goldwater rule because of two unique factors. One is ADHD, unlike all of our other psychiatric diagnoses, is written entirely based on objective behavior. Does he interrupt people? Does he walk around when he shouldn't be walking around? Does he make mistakes through carelessness? Objectively, he meets more than a dozen of the 18 criteria they list. You only need five to qualify. So something like narcissism, you actually need to know what he is feeling inside, that he's not just making a careless or spur of the decision, that he really is devaluing other people's feelings. With ADHD, you don't need to know his motivations or feelings. The second thing that's unique about this situation is that we have such a vast trove of information about Donald Trump in the public record. So the claim that in 2 hours or 6 hours of a one-on-one clinical evaluation that you'd have more information about how he behaves is just factually inaccurate. I mean, you can't make that claim with a straight face, because we see him in more interact. You know, we have a longer period of time. We have him interacting with more people. Right. You couldn't replicate that in a one-on-one situation. So I think we need to upgrade some of our ethical rules to meet, you know, that's an ethical rule made 50 years ago.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. I think, you know, as long as it's used like you're using it with discernment, discretion, and bringing understanding and wisdom to an issue that really needs understanding and wisdom so that others can understand, instead of maybe labeling, tagging, and, you know, using it as a weapon. You're not weaponizing it. You're bringing wisdom and understanding. And that I love about that. So I had a smile on my face when you were saying that. I was like, that's really cool. So, all right, let's tell people where they can get the book. And let me just tell everybody the name of it again. It's Recognizing Adult ADHD, What Donald Trump Can Teach Us About Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. And there it is right there. You can see it. Where can we get it, Dr. Cruz?
So the book's available on Amazon, both as a hard copy, soft copy, audiobook, and ebook. It's also available at Barnes & Noble. You can order it also through my site, which is just drjohncruz.com.
That's awesome. Okay, listen, I asked my last guest this question. I want to ask you this question. All right, you got the microphone. You got 160 countries out there with millions of people listening right now. What's your message to everybody right now?
I would say observe without trying to judge. I mean, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of interpretations and claims as to what's really happening. But I'd say just starting with looking at what you're seeing and trying to assess that without fitting it into a story, you're probably going to be further ahead in the long run.
That's a powerful message. I love that message. Thank you for putting that out there. I think that's something we could all practice. I don't think there's a person on the planet that couldn't practice non-judgmental, looking through the eyes of compassion, love, understanding, and wisdom, and truth. So I appreciate that. All righty. Well, thank you all for listening today. And again, if you'd like to find out a little bit more about our show, you can go to voicesofcourage.us, where all the replays are available. We're always interested in what you have to say, so please follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and send your questions and comments to viewer@voicesofcourage.us. And again, find our replays at voicesofcourage.us. Thanks so much. Stay calm, stay peaceful, and stay wise. Till next week. Take care.
Thanks for joining us for Voices of Courage with Ken D. Foster. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us. And we're always interested in what you have to say. So follow Ken on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or email your questions and comments to viewer@voicesofcourage.us. Also, you can find all of Ken's previous shows by visiting voicesofcourage.us. Be sure to join us next time as Ken brings more stories of courage that will inspire greatness within you and change your life for the better. Until next time, live courageously and see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and do the impossible. This has been Voices of Courage with Ken D. Foster.